This is the Are You Screwed podcast.
12 to 3 is going to be an entire stadium of sad drunks at Rutgers Stadium.
Three-star recruit. I'd upgrade him to about 3.14159. I call him the Pie Man.
There was like a screw pretty much lodged in my ass the rest of the game.
I mean, like, yes.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
Arriba! Arriba! Arriba!
Puka Williams doesn't have any toes on one of his feet.
What?
No, not, stop it!
Baker's Quakers.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
This is a disaster.
And welcome back to the stupidest episode of the Rutgers Are You Screwed podcast. Wow, I messed that up.
You forgot the name!
Does this mean that I'm allowed to now bring it in after my stream?
No, let me do it. Let me do my series first. And welcome back to another episode of the Are You Screw podcast.
This is Max's Bane impression that you're now
playing. Now we're eating Starburst while we record. I'm Mike with Max.
This is so bad.
And Adam. And Adam still is serving his ban. He can't bring in. he can't bring
your
it into
band
the show.
Forever. Like forever.
This
ever,
is making Adam very uncomfortable. He's wondering when we'll mention any kind of ad reads. Max, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Can we like just get away from Mike talking and not go back?
I missed the last episode. I want to cram all my talking in.
All right. Well, that's our first poll. Should Mike stop talking?
Adam, how are you?
I'm very good.
Max is not big on pleasantries. He
No,
I just wanted you to stop talking.
I think he wanted you to mainly stop talking, but I'm excited for this. We threw out our second clip show last week. Max did a good job debuting a new song as well. I was actually just going back to that clip show, and I think, again, those that are listening to this, we're obviously going to be talking about Greg Schiano soon, basketball. We got a lot of stuff to get to. This will probably be, again, another long, fun episode. But I was listening to the clip show while I was away last week, and I was like, wow, there's been a lot of funny stuff that we've actually put out. Like, good, stupid, fun material. A lot of it has been songs the last 3 months or so that have mainly been about Greg Schiano. But if that's what you're looking for, this is the podcast to come and get it from.
And we have another song today by new artist.
Yeah.
We All right. I'm always excited for new songs.
I'm so happy about all the songs. We'll talk about it when we actually play the song a little bit later on. It makes me so full of joy that I have made people stoop to the dumb level of making songs about Rutgers or about Greg Schiano or whatever. And not just me, there are other people. We have people sending us lyrics who want us to make their songs for them. Like, we have made this space dumber, and I am so proud.
So let's get kind of a quick rundown of what we expect to talk about on the show. We have Greg Schiano.
Rundown.
I literally just gave the rundown a minute ago.
You, Greg Schiano, we have a new song. We're going to talk about college pro wrestling. We're going to talk about Bernie Bot's Every Flavor Beans. We're going to talk about Washed or Not Washed. And I think that's about it,
I think that I am reinstating Adam as like the host of the podcast.
I'm still going to talk over him and take over the show.
I'm overturning the ban.
I'm doing this now to spite you.
That's fine. I would like you to stop talking and for Adam to go to like rein in control.
Point guard?
Happening.
Am I allowed to play point guard again?
You've always been the point guard.
All right, good. So as Mike gave the rundown of stuff that I think we'll eventually get to. My other point was going to be, it's November the 19th while we're taping this, and I am very grateful for the fact that we have had so much nonsense to talk about and keep us entertained with Rutgers in general. Like, I really thought going to this year, after like week 4 or 5, this was going to be a miserable podcast of just, when are they going to fire Chris Ashton? That's all we're going to have to talk about with how bad Rutgers football is. This has been a really, really entertaining 3 months or so. And now it's really getting spicy.
Well, Rutgers sports is always interesting so long as you aren't wrapped up in the whole winning part of sports. Like, there's always interesting stuff to chew on when talking about Rutgers sports. And again, as long as you don't care about the winning, there's always going to be something going on because, like I told you guys a couple weeks ago, Rutgers sports is pop rocks. Always interesting.
Very two good references there by Max to the Starburst I'm unwrapping at the moment.
What? I'm going to keep going. Anyway, the big stuff going on right now is obviously the talk about Greg Schiano, where things stand. Is this deal going to get done? Is he going to be coming back for a second tour of head coach at Rutgers? And we are taping this on the day that, the day after, actually. I'll give a lot of credit to our friends over at the Net Report, Rutgers.Rivals.com.
Rutgers.Rivals.com.
Our guys over there, Richie and the gang, were basically have been on top of everything going on with the rumors and whatnot. And this is why you should go premium right now if you're not, because you actually do get some really good information. While the free boards are funny and they're kind of a shit show at times, when you go and you pay and you go to the premium and the round table, there's a lot of good information. And basically, Richie and the Gru had put out, and I'll put it out there now.
Definitely give it away for free.
No, because now this is out there. Yeah. I'm explaining why people should do it. You're going to get the news ahead of time. You get it early. And Richie and the crew had it pretty much over the weekend and yesterday that Greg Schiano has basically said yes to the job. Quote was, "I'm all in." And the holdup right now is the Rutgers Board of Governors. And that was confirmed by our friends at NJ Advanced Media. And the Rutgers Rant talked about it on their podcast that this is now up to the Board of Governors to figure out whether or not Greg Schiano is going to return. And it is hysterical that we are at this point right now where everything looked that this was going to be Greg Schiano's job. And it seems like it's going to be, but there's still a way for Rutgers to potentially just mess this up and it not happen.
I just find it funny that when Chris Ash was fired, the whole thing was, all right, well, they're going to, like Pat Hobbs said, that they're going to take their time and they're going to do it after, most likely after the football season ends. And now we're here in mid-November. We still have two games left, and we will talk about the Ohio State game at some point.
Nope.
We will. And we're sitting here, and it's like, well, everyone calm down. This is as long as they said it was going to take. And I know it seems like it's been taking forever, and this is what happens when you fire your coach in September. But just relax, everybody. They're going to hire Greg Schiano.
But
they're going to. Relax.
You're not the least bit concerned?
No.
You're really not, actually.
No, I don't.
But
I'm not.
Well, Max isn't concerned because he's kind of like, I want to see the world burn type of fan.
Oh, yeah, so I don't care if they actually don't.
Like, I'm not saying, hold on, for the three of us.
There's a different reason he's not concerned.
The entertaining aspect would obviously be if this all blows up. I mean, that gives us plenty to talk about. But in all reality, I'm a little surprised that it's gotten to the point where we know Greg, I thought that it was basically going to be Greg Schiano wavering all along. And I thought that Rutgers, and this is maybe interesting to you guys, maybe not, that the higher up people who are supposed to have votes in order don't seem to have the votes in order and the power that we thought that they did. That is interesting to me.
But all of the spending on football and like the foray into big time college sports isn't like a university wide popular thing, as we well know. So the assumption that the entire university would just be like, all right, let's get Greg Schiano back and give him all this money and build and commit to building all these facilities and continuing with the subsidies and all the things that we've talked about. Yeah, like, is it really surprising that that's not a slam dunk university-wide? Like, of course, it can't be surprising to you. Could it be surprising?
I'm not surprised that it's not a slam dunk. But again, you get to this level of the university, and you rarely have these kinds of issues. And it just seems the more it drags on, the more you do consider, like, this could go south. And if it does, it is a what-do-you-do type of moment. Is it your new name for Nunzio 20 Nunzio, 21 Zio, excuse me, whatever. And it's like,
well, when he wins a game 20 to nothing, then he becomes
then be
20
Nunzio.
Yeah.
It is gonna, like, what do you do at that point? It's going to be all hell breaking loose.
Well, I think we should talk first about like kind of this dynamic of it seems like Rutgers doesn't like have the votes right now, or they don't.
Oh, they don't. They clearly
don't know
don't.
If they have the votes from the Board of Governors in order to approve.
If Greg's telling
Greg
you
Schiano
on Sunday, I'm all in, and there's not a Board of Governors meeting called for midweek, you got to give that 48-hour notice to do so. I mean, the fact that there is still no meeting planned right now, if this drags on past Thanksgiving.
I mean,
but what leverage does Greg Schiano have once they've met his terms? He's not going to turn them down for another job, is he? Like, he's out there waiting too.
No, but we don't know. Again, Greg Schiano has not made one public comment. I don't know what Greg Schiano wants. I think Greg Schiano,
you know, that he wants this.
No, well, yes, but speculating too that he's not going to take this job without the commitments from Rutgers that he thinks are necessary at the Big Ten level. Doesn't mean that we have to agree that those commitments are necessary, like the field house and redoing the Hale Center, whatever that may be. There are clearly, though, people on the board right now who are wavering. And again, probably with good merit to do so. They've seen what has gone on in Rutgers athletics for decades. Nothing has really changed. And Greg Schiano is basically saying, hey, we need Key Sargent to do this out. Essentially, $100 million commitment. Over the next 7 to 8 years.
$100 commitment is essentially what Rutgers
what
has
Rutgers
done.
What Rutgers has
point.
Done.
Yeah.
And Greg is basically saying, hey, no. You need $100 million commitment over 7, 8 years just for the coaching staff alone. That's not including the field house or anything that he wants to do. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be poured into Rutgers football if Greg Schiano gets his job. And there is no guarantee that he can get Rutgers to half the level that it was prior to under him.
If you're one of these people like on the Board of Governors, so let's say you're one of these fans that doesn't like who gets angry at the people on the Board of Governors who aren't just like, all right, let's go. Like, think about it from their perspective, right? One of the things that happens to sports fans all the time is that they don't realize how dumb they sound when talking about sports. Like when we're sitting around talking about like the 2004 NFL draft or like talking about the Rutgers and Illinois game, our significant others and our friends and people who don't care about sports, like they look at us how we look at them when they're talking about like, I don't know, like the British baking show or like what happened on The Voice last week. And the fact that we care, and obviously people listening to this podcast care to the about sports to the level that they do, like people at the university level are looking at this saying, wait a minute, okay, so you as an athletic department have had hundreds of millions in subsidies over the last 15 years, and you have these university loans that you have taken out that apparently you're not going to be able to pay back, as the CSS report that came out 6-7 months ago stated. And you want to take out more university loans to build more buildings, to bring back the football coach that went 68-67, and I know that, you know, we've talked about how the context of that matters, but 68-67, couldn't even win the Big East, and you want to commit hundreds of millions of dollars to bringing that guy back. Like, hold on, everybody. Like, let's slow down. You have to understand that there's a big faction of the faculty and of the alumni base, really probably the majority, right, of the faculty and the alumni don't see the value in big-time sports that maybe we and the people listening to this podcast do. So it's not surprising at all that there's a holdup.
But I guess my question to these theoretical Board of Governors that are withholding they're withholding their votes, we don't know for sure right now. My point they're being people. Yes, they're real people. They have feelings and everything too. Is
Adam has created the straw man.
What would like for them be an okay coach to sign off of? Any coach that comes in here, Keith Sargent said this today, was going to demand somewhere around the money that Greg Schiano is demanding, and same for the assistant salary pool. So what is the holdup? Is it they don't want...
Maybe they just don't want to
last
sign
stand,
off on
the
that.
Last stand. I think it's Hold the on. Last stand. I think it's just the last stand of, hey, like, this ship sailed a long time ago. We've talked before about how they're right about a lot of the things that they say, the people, the anti-big time
spending.
No,
you know what?
I
object
they're
to that. Why does it have to be a last stand? What if they just find that the ask this time is too large? They can support a vibrant Rutgers football program, but they just think like maybe $100 million for the next 7 years or whatever is just too much. Like maybe lower the expectations a little bit.
We have accused...
Not like making it binary.
I guess, but we've accused Pat Hobbs and of the Rutgers Athletic Department of not having a plan here, of just not seeming like they have any kind of plan. What if Pat Hobbs is a secret genius and he kept Chris Ash around because he knew how bad Chris Ash was. And Chris Ash being the coach made things so bad that the football program, as it has been at points in the past, became an embarrassment to the university again. And you go to the people, the anti-big-time spending sports people, and you go, look, I understand that you're not really big into this, but it's putting a bad name on the university. We really need to spend a lot of money on football because look what happens when we don't. What if that was the plan all along, to tank Rutgers football to the point where the people at the university who were kind of skittish about it, well, you don't really have a choice. If we don't spend this money, Rutgers is going to have a bad name. Because if you ask people around the country what they know about Rutgers football, what is it that they know? That they have a bad football team. And sorry, guys, we just have to spend all this money. Sorry. What if that was the plan all along?
Sure, it could be. I think this is getting political behind the scenes.
What do you mean? He tanked the program so he could go to the university and say, look how embarrassing it is when we don't spend all this money. It could have been the plan all along. Like the producers. Like that, like the movie where they tanked the play in order to make money off of it. It's a little different. Totally different.
So can I get my actual thoughts on this now?
Yeah, go for
Live
it.
Poll. Can Max stop talking? Put it up. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think this is getting political behind the scenes. I think that there's a major holdup when Governor Murphy gets involved. It's to the point already that obviously we knew that kind of Greg was in to a certain extent, but it gets to this level and like it's the nature of Rutgers. Rutgers is a state university. Everything's got to go through the New Jersey legislature. And right now there's a lot of issues with the Board of Governors and things going on and things being held up. And the reason why the votes kind of aren't there right now are probably for political reasons, and you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. So there are just a lot of things to consider in this. It could be just some people being like, hey, we don't want this amount of money going to football. My response would simply be the next coach that comes in, no matter if it was Greg Schiano or Butch Jones, was going to require a major, major funding commitment. So you're just saying that you're just going to want the next Chris Ash again? Underpay for somebody and just be an embarrassment and continue to lose money?
Well, I think the humorous part now is that they've spent all this time and all these resources to get Greg Schiano to buy in. What happens if they can't agree to what he wants and they have to start this coaching search over and they have wasted all the time that they have had, that lead up, that head start and everywhere else, and they start from scratch late November?
I think people will be pushed out. 1,000%. If this goes, fired, but it's going to be because donors are very upset.
No, they're actually going to push them out like a window.
They might. The people.
It's called the defenestration.
The revolt that will happen if Greg Schiano does not wind up getting this job, now that it's known that he wants the job essentially, or has at least agreed to the job, it is going to be a meltdown.
But the revolt
of epic
proportions. From who though? The fans? Major
donors.
But you also might have, if he does get hired and he does get all this money and he does and they do get all the commitments for the facilities and everything, you're going to have a revolt on the other side too. I think,
but that revolt doesn't matter. Rutgers does not care about
that
revolt.
You said it. They've lost.
What do you mean Rutgers doesn't care about the revolt, or we don't care about that revolt?
Rutgers doesn't care because they have continued to spend the money on the athletics program, showing they don't care about that revolt. If they cared about that revolt, they wouldn't spend all this cash.
Are you suggesting that there will be
a mass
protest if Greg Schiano is hired and the stats start coming out of the numbers
there
and all this stuff?
Sure. There are lots of people. Remember, everyone, like, of the Rutgers alumni base and the student base, we're in the minority, the people
The people who spend the money on Rutgers athletics have been empowered to continue to do so. So the minority has been winning.
But have they? Because wasn't hiring Chris Ash in the first place just kind of like shopping in the bargain bin? Like, what wasn't?
At the time, that was kind of like them being at their level. Not that they went cheap. I think hiring Kyle Flood was going on the cheap because they paid him like, I don't know, $6 an hour to coach the team or something. As opposed to Mario
Cristobal.
They got
their money's worth.
Yeah, you get what you pay for. But I think Chris Ash is just kind of like shopping at whatever level you are. I think it's not that they've been cheap before. They're just underfunded, but still probably overfunded compared to what the people who don't want athletics to thrive actually.
Listen, if you're not going to make a commitment at this point, then those people need to just, I mean, then athletics needs to stop happening. It needs to drop down to the Ivy League level.
I tweeted this out as a joke last week, and too many people took it seriously, I guess because of the way it's worded. So I'll just say that the tweet right here is from last Wednesday. A source tells Rutgers Sports Outsider that Greg Schiano won't be hired until after the season ends. The Board of Governors has to give 48 hours notice before approving Schiano's contract and palace. They won't give that notice until the day before Thanksgiving in order to avoid protest. That's not a ridiculous thing. Like, I was joking. But that's not a ridiculous idea, right?
No, I think we're just overthinking. I think they don't have the votes right now. There are people holding out, again, whether it be conspiracy theory, political reasons, whether it just be a simple, I don't want this amount of money going to Rutgers sports anymore. They don't have the votes. Greg Brown, the guy who was supposed to be spearheading everything behind the scenes, who we knew kind of just took this whole process away from Pat Hobbs to a certain extent, these guys, their whole job was to basically be like, hey, like, I can't, like, we think that if Pat Hobbs fired Chris Ash, Greg Brown basically was like, at this point, if Greg is interested, don't I need to know that, like, I'm going to get to the point where we could push this over the edge and I need the vote? Like, I'm on the board.
I think Steve Politi said that on the Rutgers Ram podcast today, where he's like, if they're going to fire the football coach, don't you need to have an idea of what the Board of Governors is going to approve going into
that?
Sure, that would be good. I mean, I kind of think it would be funny if, like, next Board of Governors meeting, they have it called. And like it's tied. I think there's 15 people on the board. It's tied 7-7.
14. It's 14.
14. Okay, yeah. Fine. I don't know. Whatever. There's one more vote that they need. It's and like someone comes up John McCain style and just like does a thumbs down, and we can all watch. I think it's gonna be broadcast. Like it would be hilarious.
What would you put it at right now, percentage wise? You think that this gets done?
I don't fucking know, man. All right. 100, it's going to happen. They're going to hire Greg Schiano.
This is amazing. I'm getting an actual call right now from a New Brunswick number. I think it's Rutgers.
Oh yeah,
asking me for money.
They're asking for money right now. I'm gonna hit decline on
from,
that one.
Stop asking me for money, damn it!
We gave enough money to the art fund.
What was it called? The telephone that people work there. What was it called? The students that keep calling.
I don't know. I feel bad every time.
I almost did that job.
Anyways, so maybe that's our cue to move on to the next thing, or maybe it's a cue that they still need. They just want more money from everybody.
Maybe it's a cue to play the new song that we have.
Our song.
We have a song. So
we do have a song.
So this song, Mike. Mike produced this song. He sent me this song. I don't know who sang it. I assume he did it. Maybe someone else did. I just want to say, Mike, that I'm very proud of you.
Yeah?
I'm so proud. I really am.
I mean, hopefully it reaches your level of stupidity.
I believe it will. Do you want to set this up? Should I just play it? Or?
Sure. You know, I think it's a new song by an up-and-coming artist. And it's in, I guess, the style that has become familiar. And for our show, it's in the Greg Schiano oeuvre. And just play the song.
All right.
Oh, Greggy. Oh, Greggy. Oh, Greggy, Greggy. How were you supposed to know that something was so right here? Oh, Greggy, Greggy. You shouldn't have let us go. And now you're out of sight, yeah. Show us how you want it to be. Want Labs with us, DC? Cause we need to know now. Oh, because the losses are killing us. Oh, yeah. Blown out by Kansas 1-0. When we're not with you, we look like ass. Give us a sign. Chop us, baby, one more time. Oh, Greggy, Greggy, the reason we're in the big is you. Coach, you got us blinded with that cap tooth grin. There's nothing that we wouldn't do. Wanna Palace got it. Show us how big you want it to be. Tell us, Greggy, cause we need to know now. Oh, because the losses are killing us. Oh, yeah. Can't play you mess every week, every week. When we're not with you, we look like ass. Give us a sign. Chop us, baby, one more time. Oh, Greggy, Greggy. Oh, Greggy, Greggy. Oh, Greggy, Greggy. How were you supposed to know? Got fired in Tampa. Shouldn't have let us go. You must confess, living in Columbus is killing you now. Don't you know we still believe that you'll have a statue here and give us a sign. Chop us, baby, one more time. Our losses are killing us and you. We must confess, we still believe. We'll let you set room temp to 69. Give us a sign. Chop us, baby, one more time. We must confess, we still believe that you'll be back. Your new bathroom's the rack. When your chopper on your sack, just give us a sign. Chop us, baby, one more time.
Okay.
I'm speechless.
I think I don't even know where to go with that. I don't know how to respond. I don't know what to say.
Next platinum hit.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't understand half the words in the song.
I told you to clean it up.
I like the effort, though.
I mean,
it takes a lot of effort to do these.
It's good. The lyrics are good. The voice is great. Just
the first voice. The second voice was a little came out of nowhere. No, at the end.
It's actually it's probably the best singing we've had on the podcast. I mean, Charlie did a pretty good job in Lyle, Lyle, Lyle.
Yeah.
Though you know, my performance in Greg Sharona, I thought was pretty good as far as the vocals were concerned.
Yeah.
But that was the best voice we've had. That was good. That was good.
Yeah. Should we go and talk about actually that they did play a football game last weekend?
They did. Is this another game where I watched it and you both didn't?
Yeah. I prefer to go to the Bernie Bots every flavor.
No, we're going
to
do that later.
No, later.
I don't want to talk about the game.
Come on.
I don't want to talk about the football
game.
We're
going to talk about the football game.
Mike, they scored 21 points against Ohio State.
We're going to talk about the football game.
Okay, great.
So this is another week where neither of you watched, right?
No, I actually, this was one where I tried to pay attention while I was working.
Okay.
I got a good amount of streaming going on. Okay, I watched a fair amount of the game.
So I think just on the overall, we were all pretty happy that they didn't get absolutely destroyed by Ohio State. I mean, I know when you lose by 35 at home, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it is getting blown out at home, but
this was not getting blown out at home.
No,
this was a win.
No, this is kind of what we've been talking about for years, and it's that, you know, that's what Ohio State does to everyone in the Big Ten. They beat you 56-21 and you kind of move on, and that's it. I mean, unless you're Penn State or you know, one of the other big time teams in the conference, this is what this is what Ohio State does. And we've kind of been clamoring for Rutgers to look like, just to look like a run of the mill bad Big Ten team, and they did a good job of that on Saturday. You know, obviously Ohio State rested their starters early in the third quarter. Justin Fields came out, I think, after one drive, maybe two drives in the third quarter. They scored a touchdown. He comes out. But overall, they scored 21 points the last two, I think mostly against Ohio State backups. But I think in the grand scheme, the most impressive thing is that the team has gotten better over the last 6 weeks. I don't think there's any argument. Listen, it was at the basement,
so it was tough to, you know, it could have easily stayed there, and this could have easily been a 80-0 type game, or we thought it would have been.
I mean, are you surprised that Carmelo Anthony is starting tonight in his first game back?
I have the mute button.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I'd love to talk some Melo. I don't know what the Blazers are thinking there, but Mike totally messed up my train of thought. No, they've absolutely gotten better.
You know what,
Mike?
Here's what I'll tease to you. Later on, I actually have an NBA topic coming up for you.
I don't want to talk about basketball.
Just for you later in the show.
Is it your wanker of the week?
No.
Is it your angry Adam of the week?
No. It's just a random topic. I just thought to make you happy for a second so we continue our conversation about
Rutgers. I don't want to talk about
basketball. On the Rutgers podcast.
Let's move on.
No. This is interesting.
Okay.
You don't find it interesting that Rutgers, one of the worst teams ever, who had a tremendously horrendous season, offseason, switches coaches, and they're one of the few teams that score three touchdowns against the number two team of the country when no other Big Ten team has done it this year. I don't care whether they're playing against nobody on defense. They put up 21 points against Ohio State.
Do you think that the Senate will back up the House in the impeachment?
Now mute him. Now keep talking.
Okay. Because I kind of think...
You're muted.
Yeah. I
there's got to be 20 Republican senators.
I just marvel at when Mike shows up. Like, so when Mike is trying...
Well, we've shown up to Mike's house, Mike is just ignoring us entirely.
I just think that when Mike is just kind of here and doing what comes naturally to him, he's awful and it's funny. When he's trying to be bad, it's not funny. Like, just be yourself, and it'll be plenty bad and funny. But when you're trying to be bad, you're not good at
this
that.
This is
you're
me. I do not care about the game. I genuinely do not care.
You're not a good troll, is what
but
I'm saying.
But I'm not trolling. I don't care.
I have tried to tell you for years that you're bad at being a troll.
Max,
just stop trolling. You're
Max,
bad at it.
Listen,
you're so bad at it.
I know that you think that you always know what other people are thinking. That's like your thing. You're the guy who talks for everyone else. You're the guy who explains what everyone else is thinking because you have this omniscience to you. I get it. I just actually do not care.
Okay, then that's great. And go, you can shut up and you can do whatever
you're
going to
do. No, I'll keep talking.
And we're going to talk about
winter
the
meetings
actual
are
football
coming up.
Game. Yeah. So they play against Ohio State. The offense looks better. And I think the encouraging thing for Rutgers fans is that, you know, you look at the first part of the season, you look at the first couple games under Nunzio Campanelli, who I jokingly called 1-0 after they had one passing yard against Indiana. Now he's 21-0. But the encouraging thing is that they looked like they were going to be one of the worst college football teams ever. And they still may go down as that. I mean, they've lost their first seven Big Ten games by 28 or more points. No one's ever done that before. It still doesn't look great, but it's not... Losing to Ohio State 56-21 is like the most respectable game Rutgers has had in years.
Yeah.
right?
It's, like, it's like you said, it's what every Big Ten team suffers against Ohio State. It's not the complete extreme, which happens to Rutgers every year. So, I mean, this was fun. I actually got in, like, every time, every week at work, and you know, everybody knows me as the Rutgers guy. This year, it's been just, like, deadly silent. Nobody really wants to talk or joke about it. Like, I got jokes going into work this week that were like, you guys won that game. 21 against Ohio State.
21-56, you won.
Right, like, yeah. That was funny. Like, and that's why, just going back to Greg real quick, this is, like, the week that you want to announce that Greg Schiano is coming back. There was actually not momentum against Ohio State, but you were not embarrassed. There is not talk of West Virginia 80-7 after that loss to Ohio State this past weekend. People are like, oh, wow, Nunzio's not that bad. Maybe there's some actual players on this team. Hey, let's announce Greg Schiano the weekend that we're celebrating Eric LeGrand. It is the perfect week
to do this. There's talk of beating Michigan State. And Michigan State stinks, right? Like, they're not any good.
That's why I'm just it just was one of those things where I didn't expect coming off of the Ohio State game to be as positive as a lot of Rutgers fans are, and they should be after that game, by the way. It's one of those things. You knew you were going to lose. You saw some good stuff, and you had a little bit of fun.
Yeah, Bo Melton had a nice, like, long touchdown. Right. Pacheco got into the open field.
I'm with you, like, a little bit, Mike. There's not a ton to go into dive about Ohio State, but there is something interesting they put up 21 points against the number two team in the country.
They put up 230 yards against Ohio State. I know that's not a lot, but, like, for this program, that's a big deal for Rutgers to do that against Ohio State. It is.
I just have Rutgers football ennui. Like,
Okay, but you've watched, what, like, two games this year?
I mean, purposefully, I could have watched Saturday.
But you didn't.
Again, okay. Purposefully.
I think it's great that you didn't watch the game, and then you want to come in here and tell us not to talk about the game that you didn't watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
What would you like to talk about next?
No, I think, is there anything else from the game I had on here? Was Ash really that bad? Is that what we're finding out?
Yes.
Is that this high school football coach?
Well, I think Steve Politti actually made the point on Twitter. He said the program is worse off now, talent-wise, than when he came in.
Which I've said, and I think many times on here, and when we've had this discussion, I mean, I don't think it's close.
From a talent standpoint, sure. I just think you had some guys left over from the Kyle Flood era who you didn't really want.
Sure, but he's also got Kyle Flood's leftovers from their entire offensive line right now. Is Kyle Flood guys. Four out of the five.
Yeah.
I mean, so Chris Ash is leaving this next coach with nothing. I mean,
you got backs. Got, yes, K-Ron Adams.
The running back position, sure.
The one position that has the least effect.
Isn't it pretty telling that a coach gets fired in September, and other than Raheem Blackshear and Art Sitkowski sitting, which feels like forever ago at this point, there's been no decommitments. No, like, it just shows you that the guys that he was recruiting have no other options.
Yeah.
And they're
we knew that.
So the point being is that Chris Ash has left as next coach with no talent. If it's Greg Schiano, it is pretty much the same situation that he inherited in 2000 when he first took over. So, yeah, Chris Ash was really that bad.
Like, really that bad. That this high school football coach comes in, okay, and starting quarterback, career over concussion. Second quarterback, nope, not playing. The guy who the entire offense was built around, Raheem Blackshear, nope, not playing. And they've cobbled together an offense that scored 21 points against Ohio State. Like, I know everyone's quick to just, because we're lazy in the sports media business and in, like, the fan business of it, is, oh, credit the coach. It's all Nunzio Campanelli. But whatever it is, Campanelli, the coaching staff, the players, whatever combination of that, for them to improve that much just by virtue of getting rid of Chris Ash, like, that's crazy that, one, that they've been able to do that, and two, that apparently Chris Ash was really that bad at this.
One, I had two things. I'll start off with the serious thing first. Has Nunzio Campanelli done enough to, like, keep his job, but to get a job on the next staff?
Depending on what it is, sure. I don't know if you're, again, you want Nunzio as the OC next year. You can make the argument that you don't want to change again to another offensive coordinator, and there are reports that Schiano will run the spread no matter what. That's what he's going to go and do with Rutgers. So I don't
know.
You'll
find a place for him. Sure. I think tight ends coach and assistant head coach.
Yeah, you can name him assistant head coach, give a nice little
co-offensive coordinator.
One of the main recruiters.
I think one of the Rutgers rank guys threw around the co-offensive coordinator.
What was his brother's title when he left after Flood? I think he was a defensive assistant. But he didn't have one. No, I know he was on the defensive staff. I didn't know if he had one of those titles of, like, assistant head coach. You could throw something like that around.
Just defensive assistant, and then he was the wide receiver and tight ends coach from 13 to 15.
Okay. But I'm with you, Max. It's just one of those things where I think he's absolutely done enough to obviously stay on staff, because you could also say, again, I hate going with the they didn't quit type deal, but it's like, I mean, this is way better than what we saw under Chris Ash, and I know it's not a huge leap forward, but got to give credit to these guy, this guy a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Give credit to the guy. Give credit to the players on the team. There was a New York Times wrote their annual Rutgers yes. still sucks at this article. We'll talk about that, I think, in a little bit. But just like, I think that is Nuncio going to be the guy if like the Schiano thing falls through? Is that what they're going to do?
Like, I mean, but isn't that Kyle Flood though all over again?
I think that they would say it's different. He's been a head coach before, but be it in high school,
what, four games,
and in six games or whatever. What will happen if this doesn't?
You
get
have
done?
To open the search up again. You have to go to your tier B guys. You have to see if Lyle's interested.
I mean,
seriously, why
but
not?
Jones took his name. That's rare that you got.
You put it back in.
I know
if you can
he's
get it.
Save face because they have the same age. But that is I've never seen that before.
That happens all the time.
Guys take their names out and then get hired for the job
and
that
then
they
come
take
back
their
in.
Name out?
Yeah, no, because usually when you take your name out, the job is done.
Yeah, but right. Not everyone's dealing with Rutgers.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but like,
Maybe we hear from your guy.
Bobby
Cerace.
Bob Cerace. Oh, see, that's the other thing about the song that Mike just put out. Mike was supposed to make a Bob Cerace
Bobby
song.
Trips.
And I'm just disappointed.
I kind of thought you were going with a Bob Cerace song.
I had a week left to get a Schiano song.
I'm not complaining.
Max,
I
of
just
all
people, is
complaining
different.
About songs. He complains that he doesn't get enough songs, then he gets a song, and now he complains about the song, which
I was
is pure Max complaining about
I
something
I was hoping
all the time.
It was a Bob Cerace song. That was it.
So you go fucking write a Bob Cerace song.
But you came up with the chorus.
I gave you the idea. Go for it.
But I don't want to do that. It's yours. It's your baby.
You're the Rodgers and Hammerstein of shitty Schiano songs.
Hey. They're awesome shitty Schiano songs, okay? I mean, think about this podcast if we can get a little self-involved here for a second. Just the idea that, I mean, I have made so many more Greg Schiano songs than I ever thought I would.
How did you ever think you would make one? Like, was there a point in your life?
No.
I want to make one Greg Schiano song.
Just the idea that we have, like, infiltrated the Rutgers media sphere and made this a dumber place, it just makes me so happy.
I think we've made it
a more fun place.
More fun and dumber.
I don't think I think the Rutgers media sphere is what it is. We're just kind of like the pirate ship lagging in the back.
We just don't
thing.
Care. We like to rattle shit up a little bit.
There's like two Rutgers sports podcasts that matter.
Ours, no.
There's two Rutgers sports podcasts that matter. And then there's the actual reporters who do their jobs and provide us the information for our show. And then there's like us just kind of doing stupid stuff off to the side.
I think we're not
in the media scene.
So is there anything else on Schiano and football that we want to get to? Obviously, they play Michigan State. We'll talk about that later on. Impressive from Campanelli and the team. Do we talk about this New York Times article?
Yeah,
some
sure.
Of the
why not?
The interesting quotes from there.
I think we should talk about it. I do think that if we actually prepare for this, we could have pulled up like the last two or three of them and just kind
of
done
them.
Like side-by-sides and just how it's just always the same.
Is it one of those things where like you just have the same assignment in like a different class and you pretty much just copy and paste and you just change a few words around to make it seem like you did something
but,
different.
But I mean, Rutgers
and
is kind of like
in your
embarrassing
own.
In different ways every year. So it kind of changes, right? To some degree. Like what was the previous one? Something about Rutgers being like $30 bajillion in debt. This one's about just how everything has gone wrong.
Well,
before that was the Eddie Jordan days.
There's some
like,
stuff
there's
that
always
were,
something.
That were incorrect. If I read that over again, I think I had highlighted a few things when I initially had read it. But there are some interesting things that came out of it. One being at the very end, going back to the Ohio State game real quick, is that
It's called a kicker.
We did kind of forget that Jonah Jackson was coming back with Ohio State this year. Like, it was just not really talked about at all. And then he pretty much won the whole game. Nobody really said much.
Well,
he's an
offensive lineman.
I mean, but he was a captain that left Rutgers to go to one of the best teams in the country. And it's one of those things where after the game, all the Rutgers guys are saying hello to him, giving him their hugs and whatnot, and their daps and saying hi. And then what was the line here at the end of the story, Max?
So the line here at the end of the story as it loaded, and then the New York Times does that thing where it says show full article after it already loads and goes back. So it's going to take me a second to scroll to the bottom.
You tweeted it. Just read the tweet.
You're right, but I'm already kind of going down this road of scrolling down in the article. Okay. So after going through about 20 hugs from his former teammates, Jackson took off his jacket and joined a group of Rutgers offensive linemen for a group photo. He beamed. They smiled, too. Their expressions were little different from the words one of them had when he pulled Jackson tight. So glad you got out, man. Oh, my God. That's just savage. Like, that's just like, whew.
Just negative recruiting on the field.
Again, another kind of reflection on Chris Ash, because I don't think it's a reflection on, obviously, Nunzio Campanelli and everything that's been going on since he took over. So it's just one of those things where...
I'm glad that there's at least one player who recognizes that, like, they're not to blame, that they've been failed by, like, the university.
Oh, I think it's more than one.
I know, I understand that, but at least we know that it's at least this one guy, and hopefully more of the players, like, don't blame themselves and just blame the university that has failed them, the athletic department that has failed them, and not, like, and just understand this is just not a good place to be right now. Like, I'm just glad that the players aren't just, like mad at themselves, I guess. That's good.
The other takeaway, I think, from that article that you put out there was from Pat Hobbs.
Yeah.
And I guess, can we go into conspiracy theory about when he did or did not make this decision to fire Chris Ash? Because there's some conflicting statements from him.
I don't think it's conflicting. I think it's, I mean, read the thing.
All right.
First.
So this is from the same New York Times article. So talking about NJ Advanced Media, Ohio State's athletic director Gene Smith said on Saturday that he was asked by Hobbs in August if Ohio State had turned up any evidence that Schiano, when he was an assistant at Penn State, had been aware of sexual abuse committed by Jerry Sandusky. So in August, apparently Pat Hobbs was talking to Gene Smith about this. And I know you can, I guess, Mike, what are you going to say?
He's doing his due diligence. I mean, if you're going to fire a guy in September, presumably you have an idea that it might have to happen in September. And so you're ready for it. So you're not flat footed.
Well, yeah, but like,
I mean, the argument, as we talked about when you fired Chris Ash in September, is like, why the hell did you do this in September? You could have done it 8 months ago. But if you put yourself in that position...
Maybe he was waiting to hear back from Gene Smith and he just never returned his
like,
calls.
Maybe so. He had to catch him at the Big Ten
meeting. Gene! He's sending Gene, you up
you
text
my,
late at night?
Yeah, like, you get my text?
You got the Come report?
On. Sorry, you don't get the full Big Ten share of responses from me yet. You don't get that yet.
Oh, did my assistant, did he not get back to you? I told him to get back to you.
But the idea that, like, I feel like the decision to fire Chris Ash was made well before... This is another thing, right? Like... The story came out, I think Keith Sargent wrote it after Ash was fired, about how it went down, and Pat Hobbs said he decided on the plane ride back from Michigan. There were always kind of questions as to whether or not that was realistic, knowing how a state university works and knowing how Rutgers works, that you can't just, like, Pat Hobbs isn't just like the dictator of the university.
Again, I think you make the decision, but you lay the groundwork before.
But you lay the groundwork
what
by
did our, What did our guy, the Rutgers Newark baseball professional guy,
there was a Rutgers tweet? Newark baseball player who said that Chris Ash was out, I think, like, after the Iowa game, and then it, I mean, maybe
yeah, so
he,
I got
maybe
permission then.
Yeah, but I guess my point is this, that, like, if you're talking to your potential future employee's former employer about his background, like, you've probably already decided to fire him. Like, Mike, if at work, right, if you found out that your bosses were hiring someone or were, you know, vetting someone who basically did your exact job, like, they had already planned to fire you.
I mean,
like,
I think it says worse about Pat Hobbs that if he had come to the conclusion that Chris Ash would be fired soon and still let that charade of a, like, charade of a season continue on, like, that's just putting everyone in a bad position.
We could all also just all be kind of freaking out about nothing just because no one seems to know anything. Like, we know things are leaking out that Schiano has apparently, he's all in or whatever, but maybe people are just freaking out and these things just take time. I'm just saying, are you kidding me? Rutgers fans are freaking out right now. Is this delay mean it's not happening? It's hilarious, by the way. I'm sorry, everybody. It is hilarious watching all of you freak out over Greg Schiano.
Adam,
it's
you sent me these tweets. My favorite freaking out, though, is the Rutgers fan who didn't want Schiano but is now angry if Schiano doesn't come. Like,
is there? There's one of those.
Sent a text in the. I don't want to name the person. We don't have to go there. Frankly, it's just a bunch of tweets. Well, actually, Max would deal with them. He's our social media guru. It's just like that type of Rutgers fan who the fuck Schiano, we don't need that guy. Nostalgia. Wait, no. Why would he say no to us?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I guess it was. It's the typical New York Times article that comes out every year. But I thought that the Jonah Jackson tidbit.
I wrote one
was
of those for Vice Sports, by the way.
About Rutgers?
No, about the basketball program.
At Rutgers.
Yeah, the last Eddie year.
I guess that was very true then of how rock bottom that was.
How about basketball?
Yeah, I think we should get to some Rutgers basketball right now.
The regular season started.
The regular season. The St.
Mike's,
Bonaventure
Mike's
game counted?
Mike's official date was the St. Bonaventure game.
Okay,
so Rutgers is 0-1, according to Mike.
0-1. They got two, my sheet here just says Dean Reiber and Oscar something committed.
Yeah, who cares about that? Name. Those are the 2020 guys.
Yeah, that committed.
One was a Swedish guy, and I made the Swedish meatball joke at one point online. So
I don't think Swedish he's, fish. I think he's like, skinny though. I don't think he's like
he's not the 6'10 guy.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but I don't think he like Swedish meatball would make any sense. Oh, you mean they?
No. I'm just saying we could do Swedish meatball night at the rack. That
How
was
about
my
we just
joke.
Make the pretzels fresh before we could start do doing like
sure
Swedish meatballs,
fresh pretzels at the rack.
We would start there, and then we can move on to
not
Swedish
cold
meatballs.
Hot dogs.
Would
at
you
the rack?
Eat? Would you eat Swedish meatballs at the rack? That is a poll question.
Yeah, that's a good
people
one.
People eat them at IKEA. Apparently, they're pretty good.
So why not?
They have horse in them or something? Wasn't that a thing?
I think there was a story about that. So Rutgers basketball is
that not a normal
3-1 right now. They're 3-1, 0-1 to Mike. They're 3-1 overall. They have played 4 games against nobodies, even the St. Bonaventure loss. I mean, that is pretty much a nobody, a team that they will probably get into that they should have beaten.
No, St. Bonnie's supposed to be pretty good, right?
Okay. They were 0-3 going into that game, had really not played very well. And when you look at the numbers, and you could look into them, Rutgers should never have lost that game.
Did you watch the game?
No. I'm
Max,
not.
Did you watch the game?
I watched the last, 60% of it.
Did you watch the opener?
I did watch the opener. Those are the only two games I've
and
seen
the
so far.
Okay, I was going to say, how have they looked so far?
It's looked mostly the same on offense. It's the same concern that we've all had over the years, which is what is the ceiling when you don't appear to have much going on offense? Like when your offense is just pass the ball around the perimeter until one of your ball handlers decides or sees an opening and decides to go, or it's not a pick and roll with the big man. It's like a pick and wobble where the big man comes to the top of the key and he half-assedly sets a screen and then kind of wobbles a few feet. And then, the guard takes like a 15-footer. If the offense isn't going to have any kind of flow, it's a pick and wobble.
No, I'm just laughing. I'm giggling. You had a good line.
It is.
I want to give you kudos.
It's the pick and wobble. And it's just that there's nothing going on
the pick
on
and
offense.
Wobble sounds like a dance you do at a wedding. Don't worry about it. It's the pick and wobble.
They're with their talent level, they're going to have these nights.
Have you ever said that?
No.
They're going to do what they did to Niagara. Like, you're going to have these nights where you're just way more talented than the other team in the non-conference when you're playing these bad teams. You're going to have these nights where you run them off the court. The problem is with this team, I don't know if the talent on this team, if you're going to go into the Big Ten and you're going to run teams off the court. Like, I'm all for playing small, and you have to be able to do that in 2019, but I don't know if this is the team that's going to be able to run teams off the floor in the Big Ten. They need DeShaun Freeman. They need defensive tough guys, and they don't have any of those versatile defenders.
Let me make a semi-serious Rutgers point. Right now, KenPom have the number 97 offense according to KenPom, which for them is actually the high point of the Steve Peichel era. The problem is that their defense is number 66. And with their margin, with their lack of margin for error, with their offensive efficiency, 66 is just way too low. They need to be a top 40 defense
they
like
need,
they were last year.
But they
year.
Need more athletic guys to play this way. I don't think they have the guys here, to play
you
this
haven't
way.
Seen them. You haven't
I have
seen
not,
them
I have not.
So here's the difference between this year and last year offensively right now. In the half court, it's the same exact thing. When they have chosen this style to basically revamp their offense, which is just kind of go crazy and wild and try and run a little bit, except they really don't run smooth. Kind of run frantically, so they'll get some fast break points here and there, but they're not a team that still can run fast break and pull it out and shoot. So that's still an issue, and the half-court offense is literally non-existent still.
I'm just saying, based on those KenPom numbers, it seems like we're looking at it the wrong way. I wouldn't be worried about the offense. I'd be worried about the defense because they can't play Peichel ball.
Can't we be worried about both?
Yeah,
I mean, sure, but the offense is like a constant thing, and it seems like it's actually doing better than ever. Like, if the defense isn't there, you can't even grind out wins like you had in the previous years.
Yeah, he's right about
Well, that I was actually...
That is my point.
No. I'm in a complete agreement. This is a team this year, I think, where people are going to really be frustrated is that not only have they revamped their style to try and not play those grinded out games at times, but when they're going to have to play those grinded out games, they're not as skilled as they used to be to do that anymore. It is going to be really difficult. I want to just bring up one thing.
You're missing your mud guys. You don't have Dorson and you don't have Eugene Omorui. So, you can't play that way anymore. And while in theory they have all these guys who are between 6'4" and 6'8", and in theory you want to play this kind of small ball, I just don't know if these are the guys that are going to be able to do this
and
be competitive.
I want to bring up some numbers that there's been a couple good threads actually on the Rutgers men's basketball board on Rutgers.rivals.com.
Why
don't you shout out the people who made good points? They listen.
I'm going to right now. I don't think this guy does listen, but he's a notable poster on the board.
Maybe this will get him to start listening.
His pseudonym is New Jersey Hawk. He's well known on the men's basketball boards. All his point, basically, he titled the thread, The Myth of Eugene in the Jae Young Defense. There's been a lot of people so far that have kind of hinted at they're really missing Eugene Omoruyi. The Jae Young departure is really killing them. And when you actually look at the numbers from last year, the St. Bonaventure game highlighted what has been going on with Steve Peichel's teams, especially last year. They played a ton of games where the team that they played, they allowed to shoot at least 45%. St. John's, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Fordham, Columbia, Maryland, Minnesota, Purdue, Ohio State, Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, and Indiana all last year. 31 games last year, 13 of the 31, the team shot 45% from the field. Five of those 13, 50% or better. The team only won one of those games. I just think that everybody rushing to be like the biggest difference is no Eugene Omoruyi. That is not totally true.
But it's stylistically.
Are they playing the same way, and it's just that
the pace is higher. They're playing at a much faster pace.
Offensively, they are not defensively.
But it's the same thing. Like you
gave it more defensive possession.
They're not more aggressive defensively.
But you're creating more possessions by playing this way. You're creating more possessions.
Sure, but the teams are. But if they're shooting the same percentage, that's not much of that's the same issue as it was last year. The teams that you're playing are still at the success rate is still going at the same scoring pace.
But I've thought for years that the defensive prowess of this team has kind of been overstated, in that I feel like they've gotten lucky in a lot of games where teams have missed a lot of open shots. Like in most games that they play, the other team generates better shots than Rutgers does. Especially in the Big Ten, but even against Bryant was producing better shots than Rutgers. Rutgers ended up winning because Bryant missed a shot at the buzzer. Against Drexel, I thought Drexel. I saw a tiny bit of that game from like the few minutes I saw. It looked like Drexel was creating better shots than Rutgers. And obviously against St. Bonaventure, when you go down 19 points in the first half, like, the Bonnies weren't just making a bunch of contested threes. They were generating open looks, and it was a big problem for the defense. And since you don't have Omoruyi and you don't have Dorson, you're not going to have that ability to play that grinded out, we're going to muck it up and try to win every game 54-52. I don't think they're going to have that, and I don't know if they're going to be able to win on the high end. And basically it's just football season, or maybe we just shouldn't ever pay attention to any sports around here, because what's the damn point?
I'm just saying that, again, while defense is an issue and while they miss some, you know, those guys that you mentioned in terms of they have to change their style, again, playing that defense has no effect on, again, the best guys who you thought that'd be good offensively, Baker, McConnell, Harper, and Young, when 13 of 53 in that game. I mean, you just... That's horrendous.
Jacob Young is a wild ride.
They're just unfortunately, again, great that there are expectations. I know we're only four games in, but I think that these next two games, we probably won't watch them very closely, but UMass and NJIT are two very interesting teams that are way better than people think.
UMass is back in our lives.
Yeah, UMass is back in our lives. So,
UMass, next Friday afternoon, I think.
Here's a problem. Now they've lost all room for these wobble games because they've looked bad these first four games. They lost the St. Bonaventure game. Now you have to look really good before you play Pitt, essentially.
What's a wobble game?
You basically, wobble games, Bryan games, essentially, where you win the game, but yet you never pull away. It's really way too close. And I think you may see these next couple of games, and people are going to start to get really frustrated.
I've thought for a while, like, it's going to be interesting when and if the narrative changes on Steve Peichel, and kind of
because everybody just likes
doing
him because he's a nice guy,
right? Like he's bought himself a lot,
yeah, just by being a good guy.
And they did win six. What they went seven. 6-7. I'm saying, no, last year they started 1-6 in the Big Ten, went 6-7 the last 13 regular season games, and then obviously that disaster in the Big Ten tournament against Nebraska had like six players, and Rutgers still somehow lost that game. But like they finished last season pretty well, winning 6 out of 7, had that incredible win at Iowa, but that kind of bought him a lot. And just being a nice guy, I think, buys him a lot. But if it keeps going down this road and they keep, you know, struggling against teams like St. Bonaventure, teams like you have to beat St. Bonaventure.
Yeah, now if they come out of the out-of-conference schedule with more than three losses, people are going to be very disappointed, and rightfully so. Again, it's year four. It's good that expectations are raised.
I don't know if people will turn on him this year. I think that
Steve
Peichel
on the type of season.
I don't think he's Peichel.
And they shouldn't either. Like, one bad year is not reason, I think, to turn on a coach.
What about four? Or three and a half?
Again, what's
if you have been a believer in Steve Peichel up until now, I don't think one bad year should turn you around.
Am
if
I
you
allowed
have
to
not been a believer in Steve Peichel? Obviously, this is just confirmation bias,
right? And I'm still in that frame of mind as a Rutgers maniac fan. Like, I want Rutgers to win, but I also now, like, again, year four, where I'm like, the things that I look for in a basketball team on an X's and O's, I haven't seen change at all under him, and I don't think are a good sign of where Rutgers can progress to under Steve Peichel. Like, I think that his style puts a very limited ceiling on any type of team.
Yeah, what's like, your ceiling?
Your ceiling needs to be way high.
But the interesting thing is, it seems like he's gotten away from his style this year.
Has
like,
he?
If Peichel Ball the first 3 years was grind out, play very good defense, low possessions, and just kind of win games in the like high 50s,
but they didn't
low
play
60s.
That great defense last year. It was,
but I think that's what he wants to do.
But that, like, if that's his intent, and I mean, the 45% is a, I understand the number. It matters how they got to 45% and the types of shots that they're taking. There's also a bit of flukiness that's involved. Like, we don't need to go into all that. But if that is Peichel Ball at its, you know, at its heart, it is interesting to me that this is the year that he's apparently, again, I haven't watched the game. I don't know. I can't say. I will watch a game, I promise, by the end of February.
they play Seton Hall way before that. Seton Hall is good, by the way. They have like six players who'd be.
No, I'm actually going to try to go to the rack a few times. Anyway, if you see me there, don't say hello, please. And so it's interesting to me that he's trying to do something different. And that in itself is a risk, right? Like, that we should be encouraging him to do different things and to play theoretically a better way. If that's what ultimately gets him this year,
Max,
that's problematic.
But
it's, and interesting.
But you have his talent. He hasn't recruited to the point where he could play that style.
Well, let me get to that in a second. Hey, also, part of like playing this style is, you know, installing a half court offense.
Right.
Like, you have to have a half court offense. You can't just play this 3-man weave and move the ball around the perimeter and then someone attacks. Like, here's the thing. Last year, Duke, right? Duke, it was really frustrating watching Duke last year. They didn't run an offense. They just kind of rolled the ball out there, and you can do that when you have RJ Barrett and Zion Williamson and Cam Reddish, and you're just kind of going that way. You can't do that when you have this talent. Like, you need to, unless he's going to recruit like six Cliff Omoruis, you can't play this way. So you need to.
Maybe he thought that he had that kind of talent.
But they're not.
Again, but it's also been four games. Like,
but you. Do I need any more games to see that they're not running a half-court offense?
I hate that kind of the judgment
I'm saying
after is
four,
like...
Four games, you can see what they do and do not have, I think, in four games. Like, you can see the kind of like the basis of that. I do think that, especially for college teams, four games is not enough to call it a finished product. Like, they can still improve and
not
do the things they're
it.
Trying to do better.
I'm just judging what the coaching has done so far, and then based on the style of play that he said that he wanted to play this year, you can infer after four games kind of like they're going to be challenged if they want to do this, because they can't do it with these guys.
If you don't have a half court offense, they're not going to go anywhere. If they don't get a half court offense, they don't have the talent to just run teams off the court in the Big Ten. I think that is what Rutgers fans should be concerned about.
If they get their defense straight, like, and they have a, you know, somewhere like a top 100 offense, they might be okay.
I'm just saying that once again, the style of play and the talent level has set this team at a certain ceiling, and that is going to be the problem with Steve Peichel moving forward, is just that I think that his style alone is going to cap it at a certain point where you don't want to be if he hopefully progresses with the team moving forward.
That's fair. I want, before we get too far off, I want to ask you, Adam, something about something you said a couple episodes ago. And no, I want to ask, it's something Adam said, because I don't really know what he was trying to say here, and it really stuck out to me as, quite honestly, nonsense.
James Cratch brought up a couple good points too. Like, they're a really long ways away still from being even, you know, to the upper success of mediocre. Like,
what is the upper success of mediocre?
I saw you tweet
about
something about that.
It's like upper middle class, right? The upper success of mediocre.
That's a great, great analogy that we talk a lot about.
You have like a McMansion, but you don't have a real mansion.
Right. The upper success of mediocre. I just don't know what that is.
You have like a house in Jersey Shore, maybe in Seaside, but not like Long Beach Island. I get it.
The upper success of mediocre.
Yes.
Okay. I was just wondering what that was.
Now we should all understand that I really don't put well-worded sentences together quite often. And no. My brain kind of just
so
scrambles.
Hard on Adam?
I don't mind one bit.
No, because what Adam has said before.
It's just Max. He's just an asshole sometimes. He really just tries to dig in for the sake of being mean.
I know when I have verbal diarrhea and it happens
I object to it more so than you on your behalf.
I have made fun of Adam before and he's responded with, look, I have too much spit in my mouth and sometimes I can't say words. I don't know what the upper success of mediocre would have to do with that. So
that just is verbal diarrhea.
Yeah, that's fair. And hey, anytime you guys want to make fun of me, and you have before, when I tried to read that Fire Festival Wikipedia,
you guys let
me have it. Hey, you can do whatever you want. I also wanted to ask you, Mike, a couple of years ago, we were talking about Virginia basketball. And I remember you were asking, what would you rather have? Virginia basketball, that year where they were like the number one overall seed and then lost to UMBC, or be Rutgers basketball? And you claimed that you would rather be Rutgers basketball than have that Virginia season and then lose in the first round.
I mean, that was a really embarrassing, embarrassing season.
And nobody remembers because they won the national championship the next
year. Well, if I knew they'd win the national championship,
But it's such a ridiculous point to like say in the first place. Do you have any idea how crazy the rack would be?
No, you know, I think it's fair. Make it a poll. Would you rather have the number one overall seed and lose to the 16 seed for the first time ever? Or would you be Rutgers basketball?
It's not even like a question. Do you know how much fun that season would have been? That whole season leading up to that point. I know you wouldn't have gone to any games at the rack, but I probably would have, you know, mooched my way into a couple games.
I've gone to at least one game at the rack for several years now.
You went last year? You went to a game last? No, you didn't. I didn't see you there.
I watched games.
Well, you put that poll up. Do you know, by the way, right now that there is a there's a coyote problem by the rack?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a legitimate coyote problem. I actually want them to change the name of the rack for a little bit because they found a den of coyotes. Let's change the rack. The name for the next couple weeks should just, let's call it the den.
Yeah.
I don't have a rim shot, so I just went with
that. I think they're going to turn it into a closet when Shiano takes over.
What would you do if you encountered a wild coyote on Livingston campus?
Meet me. Yeah, what do you...
I think we just leave it at that.
Yeah.
I think Mike won.
So anyway, all the students listening, none of you, just be careful out there on Livingston campus.
Watch out for coyotes.
They're a real doozy.
They should put up signs.
I guess want to get into it here, but we've complained.
Where else will you get?
No, I'm saying I don't want to like spend too much time on this, but we've complained about the non-conference Rutgers men's basketball schedule for a long time. Like, and you turn on, and they tried to play South Carolina in this game that they just lost to St. Bonaventure. You know, they try to play them up in Toronto, but the home out of conference schedule, like other than Seton Hall and other than games that they've been forced to play in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, like, where are the non-conference home games that are good, that get your fans excited? Like, it's hard. We've talked about how this season hasn't felt like it started yet, or felt like it started against St. Bonaventure. What good does it do you to beat Niagara by 50?
Yeah,
what good does it do you? It gets you a win. It doesn't get your fan base excited, other than like, you know, the 700 people who are just like 3-0, we're 3-0, and it's like, all right, well, you know.
Here comes St. Bonaventure.
Here comes St. Bonaventure.
And I mean, that's the risk of also playing a bunch of St. Bonaventures, is if you then do lose, it's even worse.
Oh, well, that's the other thing. By the way,
somebody brought up that point.
Losing to St. Bonaventure means that this is, Pikel's going to go full Syracuse going forward. Like,
yeah.
Syracuse and Boeheim, over the years, they were just playing.
They
never
left New York.
They never left New York. Southeast Missouri State and, like, you know, Caltech and, like, whoever they could get to come to the Carrier Dome.
Caltech.
Whoever they could get to go.
15-0. Look at Kentucky. I mean, not only did they lose to Evansville, and I forgot who they played
last night, Utah Valley,
and they had to come back, and they won by 8. I mean... I know I'd rather beat Kentucky, Mike. Don't give me that poll question. But it's just one of those things where this does happen a lot, where teams kind of play down to a certain level of competition. I don't know.
That's what Rutgers has been doing for all these years, playing down to the competition.
No. I'm just saying is that, again, it's I'm with you that I don't like the schedule. I'd much rather play one or two really good out of conference games, one at home, one on the road. And then go with more the low. If you want the cupcake, go with the Monmouth, the Princeton style rider. At least the jersey flair to it.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I want to pander a little bit to the Rutgers fans. And you kind of like when you're a wrestler and you come to like the city and you shout out the city when you're on the mic. And this is actually something we talked about on the text chain. I kind of want to take a shot at Seton Hall. Why is Miles Powell playing a game after he sprained his ankle? and is out there on the floor. I think that's
Willard
just like recklessness.
Fucking lie.
Didn't he score like 60 points in that game or like 40 or something?
I mean, I just I have no idea. I just think it's recklessness. Like he's,
you know what?
He's
the
in college.
Media fake news.
I don't know. I just basically
the media, certain media members, one in particular who's a Seton Hall grad who talks a lot about college basketball, hyped up Miles Powell to make him out to some fucking god coming back from this injury.
Tampering.
We don't
Wait,
know.
Well, I've totally missed. Okay, what?
Basically, Miles Powell sprains his ankle.
Right.
Kevin Willard, after the game, basically says, oh, this could be something that lingers for a while. He's probably not going to play in the Michigan State game.
Okay.
So the media, instead of not just taking it for what it is and seeing what happens, Kevin Willard has done this in the past with injuries and basically has made them worse than they are. He maybe was just basically setting up for Miles Powell to come back
in. But I
have
no idea.
But a
sprained
ankle on its own is pretty bad.
But Mike,
we don't know what happened. We don't know how severe it is.
How often do you see like NBA players roll their ankle and then you think it's going to be awful and then they're back on the floor the next game?
Here's the difference, though. They're getting paid. What does that have to do with them and the severity of the injury?
Like, if he's fine, then he's fine.
Listen, a sprain. Miles Powell is in college, so Miles Powell can eventually go play professional basketball.
Sure.
Right? So we have to think about Miles Powell through that prism. A sprained ankle, even if it's a
mild
one.
We don't know what it was. We don't know what he's thinking.
For a private university.
You're thinking as if you were Miles Powell, which you're never going to be.
Of course, we're always projecting our own thoughts and impressions on all of these people.
Mike, we don't know how injured he was.
That's
we have no idea.
Like, a sprained ankle has the possibility of always getting worse. Like, it is something
but
that
we don't even know that it was a sprained ankle.
He looks fine.
So you think
that the sprained ankle was not actually sprained ankle?
You keep
ankle.
Saying it could have been a...
That's what I'm asking. So you think that was not actually the case?
I don't know is what I'm saying.
You think Kevin Willard was lying?
I think you're very comfortable.
Yes. Adam thinks
did
Kevin
he say,
Willard
did he
lying.
Say sprained ankle or he said it might be something that lingers?
I don't know.
Is my point. My point is this. We have no idea. I'm willing to say I don't know. You're not. You're apparently willing to say you know everything but the ongoings in the Seton Hall athletic department.
I'm not saying that at all.
I'm saying that if it was a sprained ankle, I don't think he should have played.
I'm just saying is that you.
Next
he
game.
Looked pretty damn good.
That's all my point is basically. He looked fine and healthy against Michigan State. So all I'm just saying is that he was not Willis Reed, like, which is what that person called him on the internet coming back from the game to play Michigan State.
My knowledge of Miles Powell's injury was the text in our chain that said he has a sprained ankle. And I said, oh, okay, it's a sprained ankle. He shouldn't be playing. And then there was a text, like, whatever later, saying he was playing.
So here's
right,
my
so
point.
So you just said
like,
he should be playing without
for...
knowing that he shouldn't
yeah.
be playing.
When, well,
yeah.
yeah. If he had a sprained ankle, he should be playing.
When a player's hurt and you kind of aren't sure if they're healthy and you think they might be, like, shot up with something, you kind of look how they look after halftime because they can't.
It wears off by then.
It wears off
well,
by then.
Well, that's football. Well, we don't know that to be sure.
I've
in football,
that.
You can't do
I've
two...
seen it.
In college?
I've seen enough Dwayne Wade playoff games that were really good for a half to know like what when a guy has gotten treatment or gotten a shot before a game.
The NFL has a rule where you can't take it twice in a game day.
But my point is this.
We don't know what the other
sports do. My point is this. Miles Powell looked really good for all of the minutes he played in that game, so I don't think he was that hurt. I really don't.
They're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah,
back to your original point.
Yeah,
they're going to be really
they're
tough.
They're
going to
be really. I really do.
Is that
think,
your favorite team this year?
I love.
Are you a Seton Hall fan this year?
I think I root for them. I know I'm in the minority among Rutgers people with that, but I root for them because I think it'll be.
I
cool.
don't root against them.
It'll be
I,
cool if both Rutgers and Seton Hall are really good. Seton Hall, that's going to be a tough game because looking at Seton Hall, I really think they have six players who might be better than anyone Rutgers has.
I don't
so.
Think it's going to be a tough game.
Who's
at
the
all?
Best?
Seton Hall's just going to blow Rutgers out.
So tough for Rutgers. Obviously.
I mean, I think that's one where.
Well, they also they should have a couple years ago. Like that Seton Hall team was also ranked, not as good as this one.
They didn't have the depth that this team has.
They didn't have the depth, that team that lost to the RAC a couple of years ago.
And they're playing a team in Rutgers who has no size versus Seton Hall this year. And I don't know the style that they're going to try against Seton Hall. Every style, pretty much, Seton Hall can out.
I don't know what
them.
Rutgers is supposed to do with Romario Gil. He's like 7'2",
right.
260. Like, I don't know what Rutgers is supposed to do with that guy. He's not that good, but he's this big and kind of rangy, and I don't know what Rutgers is going to do with him.
If like Seton Hall's a legit like 2 seed, that would be pretty cool.
It would be. I mean, this like...
I like when college basketball is good in this area. Why wouldn't
no,
you?
That's
it's
what I'm
big.
Saying.
It gets big. St. John's, I mean, when they're good, they take
yeah,
over
St.
New
John's.
York. Like,
and
not...
there's a way different feel when you're not in the same conference anymore. Like, I know they're our rival, but I don't... It just doesn't... I'm not hate watching them anymore
there
like I used to in the Big East Conference.
There are so many people listening to this who are so angry that
they're
all
just
of us
turning
are basically
this up.
Saying that we're like rooting for Seton
go
Hall.
Go Seton Hall, go Pirates.
Go Pirates!
oh,
that's a
the other
go Pirates?
The other note that I had
what are the
on
two
here,
options? Go Pirates and go Pirates?
Yeah. The other note I had for Rutgers basketball was free throw shooting advice by Ron Harper, Sr. That he
make
tweeted
your free
out.
Throws?
Yeah, he tweeted out basically you got to hit your free throws, so... I just thought that once again, it should highlight how
abysmal Rutgers
is. I mean,
it's true, they should hit free throws.
Once again, it's shooting free throws this year.
Well, so. Never mind. I mean, their free throw defense is pretty bad this year.
And one more thing in note to the Jersey basketball scene. You guys saw what happened in the Monmouth, Kansas game at the end of the game.
Oh, that guy's a hero.
The kid that down 55.
That was the last time. Remember when Monmouth was good and they had the bench and that was cool. Justin Robinson.
Yeah.
King, what's his name?
King Rice.
King Rice, yeah.
And but anyway, so the Monmouth player at the end of that Kansas game, down 55, steals the ball with a couple seconds left, dunks Badass. It, and then gets the technical foul for celebrating after for taunting.
Yeah.
What a hero. I mean,
that was just unbelievable.
Mouthing to the Kansas really cool. team, I don't give a...
yeah, that's great.
That guy's a hero.
That's so good. I gotta say, when Rutgers scored that touchdown against Ohio State to make it 56-21... I was paying attention to Cole Murphy on the extra point to see if he would do anything crazy, like on an extra point with, you know, a minute left in the game. They're down 35. I was like, he just kind of dapped up Justin Davidovitz. Well,
he advanced to the semifinals of the Holder Award.
Of the Pete Mortel Award. He's up for Holder of the Year. And now Adam Korsak to the Ray Guy Award.
Yeah, so, I mean, Adam Korsak is Ray Guy, so he should win.
It's going to be the Adam Korsak Award by the end of
it. Oh, my God. You know what? Ohio State punter is going to win that, too.
What I found out today is that there's this SB Nation Illinois football blog that got really mad at the idea that their punter didn't make it to the semifinals and tweeted, like, I was just joking around with him, and he tweeted this article about, like, outlining the reasons why the Illinois punter needs to be up for the Ray Guy Award and taking it super seriously. And, like, I just feel like there are so many fan bases of teams with bad offenses out there that are just like, our punter's the best. We have the best punter. And looking at the punting stats, like, there are a lot of punters out there that are going to give Korsak. I think the ones we got to worry about, Tyson Dyer from New Mexico, 50 punts, 31 of them inside the 20. That's more than Korsak. Michael Turk, son of Matt Turk, former NFL punter.
Yeah.
49 punts, 28 of them inside the 20. Korsak is 28 inside the 20. But that's a 63 punts. He's just got some stiff competition here, and I don't know.
I mean,
if he's
that Iowa game was that was like
punting Picasso, punt Casso.
Yeah, it was a punt Casso. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, the equivalent of a game.
Is that Adam Korsak's new nickname, punt Casso?
Yeah, tweet it.
Yeah.
What's like? I'm trying to think of, like, somebody who won the Heisman a few years ago, and just like that was the game that won it for them. That was the punt Casso performance.
Yeah, I don't know. Who's the podcast that always tweets at us? Is it the Walk On Podcast?
The Walk On Redshirt Podcast.
They asked something that was really interesting today that intrigued me and got me thinking. I don't know if any of you. I think one of you had to see it because somebody retweeted it. They asked if Rutgers. Basically, we asked what topics you want to talk about today. We asked that, and some people replied with some topics.
We did tweet that. Yeah.
Somebody that podcast replied, if Rutgers were to hire an animal as a coach, what animal would you want hired and why?
Well, the coyote is the easy answer because we have them.
We have them. I was thinking
on
that.
The camp. I don't know if they're rabbit.
Would that
but they're
be the cheap
campus.
The cheap option?
I
we did, try to hire an elephant and I, they say no.
I just here's Board some options that I thought of that maybe fit within the theme of Rutgers overall. The silky shark is an option.
It's a tank all the time though.
I don't know if it's in a tank, but basically. This highly migratory shark, Rutgers has jumped from conference to conference, so it kind of fits.
Hold on. Are you saying there are sharks that wouldn't require a tank that just live on land among people? Like, what are you
I would want that kind of. Oh, you mean it would have to coach in a tank?
Yeah, like you would need a tank.
You can bring
time.
One of those dunk tanks around or whatever.
I mean, okay. It's worth it if it's a good coach.
I mean, we're getting serious about what type. Because the animal. I mean,
no, because, no, should. No, because I said he'll need a tank, and you were like, well, maybe not. And I'm like, what is the shark
gotcha.
That doesn't need a
I
tank?
I gotcha. Anyway, highly migratory, so jumps from conference to conference. But, low productivity shark. That's pretty much Rutgers. And is at risk from substantial incidental take in high seas fisheries. Basically, that's the Big Ten. It just has a lot of trouble in the Big Ten. So I just thought that maybe that one it can go for. The dingo was another one that...
dingo ate my baby.
A, because of the great name. But it's a much maligned and misunderstood species, but people kind of still like it, and it's crucial to the ecosystem. It's kind of crucial to the Big Ten, just not in the way that we want it to be crucial to the Big Ten. So I thought that maybe its presence benefits many other species, it says. Rutgers pretty much benefits every other team in the Big Ten because they just beat up on Rutgers. So the dingo or the silky shark were my two options.
Is it different coaching from a tank than if you're coaching up from a booth?
What about a swarm of bees as the
well,
head coach?
Do we get a whole swarm or do we
so
get one bee?
Is the queen the head coach?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's a swarm. It's a swarm of bees.
I don't know if we could afford the whole coaching staff.
You need, is that an apiarist? What is that? What
yeah,
is that?
I think that's
that
right.
A bee person? Yeah. I think it's an apiarist.
Does Pat Hobbs have to wear that B thing?
That'd be great student section.
The press conference.
Everybody in the beekeeper costume.
The beekeeper costume. Oh, man. That sounds hot, though. Like, not like that sounds hot. Like, that sounds like really.
I was going to get next. We discussed the fetishes Max has.
Oh, man.
Max comes home. That,
by the way, speaking of, I don't know why this made me think fetishes. Of the crowd. The crowd on Saturday, there was a lot of Ohio State people there. I feel like more than usual. I guess maybe because they're
more
having
than usual,
a particularly
you
good
heard
season.
Them more than usual because nobody was going to go to watch Rutgers and it was just going to be Ohio State fans.
Like, I guess.
32,000 was the announced crowd and what, 15,000 had to be Ohio State fans. There was probably only 20 in the building anyway.
Yeah, something like that.
So. Yeah,
it was interesting, by the way, after the game, going out to the parking lot, and just because of how cold it was, that the post-game tailgates did not exist for that 3:30 game.
Yeah, you're out after that one.
People, there were no post-game tailgates in that parking lot. Usually it's pretty good, but that game was too cold for that.
Should I go over any of the other random stuff that I had written down?
Yeah.
I know Max has a bunch here.
Yeah, we rapid fire here.
Okay,
what about the questions? We want to go through the questions or things that people sent to us that they wanted us to talk about.
Let's go through it.
Any more of those?
Let's do one. Pick one. Pick a good one.
Hold on.
The best one.
One of them was one that I just went over.
Yeah, that was one of
them. The animal question.
How much tampering needs to happen for Rutgers to get that dude from Monmouth who dunked on Kansas and got
That's
a technical foul with 2 seconds left down by 55 points? I got Kevin Gengler on Twitter.
By the way, he puts out some very, very good informational videos.
Yeah, go follow him. Kevin Gengler.
Oh, that's the
when
basketball
it comes to
dude, right?
Basketball.
Yeah.
Really,
the thing
really
that's
good
like
stuff.
Said Max should do, but is just too lazy to
There's
do.
There's like seven people paying attention to Rutgers basketball on Twitter, and he's one of them. will Pat Hobbs survive through next season as the AD?
Yes. I mean,
no.
Is that like a?
It's just a question.
Question. I'll say probably not.
I'll say no.
Fine. I'll say yes.
All right. When Shiana was hired the first time, his initial slogan was "It's time." What do you think his new slogan will be? Will we go back to the chop?
Go back in time.
We're gonna bring back the chop. I think they're. I assume they will. Right. Keep chopping.
Yeah. Chop's coming.
I don't know. I feel like
we're back again. Let's do it again. Back in the high life again. I don't know. Like,
what if he just steals row the boat? He just like claims it.
What if it's lick the ice cream?
Oh,
yeah. Dating back to our first or second
hold
episode.
On. What if he just steals pounding nails?
That would be
because Steve Peichel hasn't embraced pounding nails. Like we've all joked about John Rothstein and like the pounding nails thing, but like Steve Peichel hasn't. So what if Greg Schiano comes in and steals pounding
That'd
nails?
That'd be pretty good.
Apparently, an Ohio State fan thought that one of the urinals at the stadium was really high tech. This is the most high tech urinal I've ever seen. That's
you
all.
Then tweeted something about. I bet Ohio State has urinal troughs.
The trough. Do you know what a urinal trough? Like, do you guys know what urinal
troughs are? I peed in one at Penn State. They have urinal.
They
troughs.
Still have the urinal.
Yeah,
trough.
Penn State.
Somewhere
does.
Else has that too.
I can't remember.
They're
I think Ohio State does have one. By the way, true story. Next to Baton Field, I think that bathroom still exists. There is a urinal trough in the bathroom.
Wrigley
next
Field.
To
I don't
field.
Know. Last time I was
Wrigley
there,
Field.
They
yes, they haven't gotten anything new at Wrigley Field.
I Soldier
decades.
Field when I was a kid.
If you're a Rutgers student currently on campus, can you go to Baton Field and confirm to us if there is a trough?
If that bathroom still exists,
pics please. Tweet pics.
Wait. Time out. There's a
trough.
Hold
nothing
on.
Else.
There's a bathroom at Baton Field.
Yes.
I didn't know
in
that.
In between the softball
did you just
and the
go in your pants?
Field.
Did you wear a diaper?
I just never went to the bathroom when we called those baseball games. God, those were the
those
best.
Are,
oh, man,
painful,
you know what we need to
worst.
Do? I wonder if we could get WRSU to let the three of us call one of those midweek alumni baseball games.
I'm sure they would let us do it.
I think
why
I
really
do
don't
you
think
want
to do it?
Are you
difficult.
Kidding me? Do you know how much fun we would have with one of those
your
baseball games?
I mean, your toes are always cold because it's always unreasonably
I'm
cold
still
on your
I'm
feet.
In. I'm still,
right,
I'm,
Adam
still
and I'll do
I'm still
it.
Holding out for we're getting the RSU guys to let us call a football quarter at one point.
Oh, that
still,
I would do.
That is still
I bet,
happening
here,
for that.
You know what? I bet they do the spring game. I bet they would let us do some of the spring game.
Oh, God. The spring game didn't go well for me. I started calling everybody the wrong names.
The Adam confused white linebackers. I think he called Brandon Renkert. No, you called Kevin Malice, Brandon Renkert, I think. He just
like
kind
that.
Of went for the last white linebacker.
Anything else I had written down here? Have you tried the Popeye chicken sandwich?
No.
It's funny. A couple weeks ago, I was driving down Route 22, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get the Popeye's chicken sandwich. It was on a Sunday afternoon. Don't even try. Because I drove into the parking lot, went to the drive-thru. There was a sign that said, no, you have to go inside. People were parked, not in spots, just like along the edge of the parking lot. I'm like, nope, this sandwich isn't worth it. I'm going to come back at like noon on a Tuesday, and I haven't done it yet.
How good could it be?
I don't know. Apparently
like,
good.
For
people are
this
like stabbing
type
people
of reaction,
over it. Like,
these are like Beanie Babies in the 90s. Like, someone's going to get hurt.
Oh, plenty of people have gotten hurt.
Oh, really?
Popeye's Chicken Fight Twitter is a very interesting follow. Yeah.
You and I lead different lives.
I mean, you got to entertain yourself some way. Other item I had written down here, we are taping on the day. It's the 15-year anniversary of the Malice in the Palace. Where were you guys the night that the Pistons and the Pacers
I was at home watching
one another? Were you watching it live?
No.
Because I was watching it live, and I never watched NBA basketball, and I was watching ESPN, and that game was finishing up. And that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen on live television when it comes to a sporting event.
I turned it on late, and it, for some reason, looked like a minute and a half to go, and I was like, I'll keep it on. Let's go to SportsCenter.
Yeah, I don't really remember. I remember like ESPN breaking into like whatever they were doing and like people talking about it and going crazy over it. I didn't see it live. Obviously, I've watched the video of the Malice in the Palace like dozens of times since then, because every time you watch it, you see something funnier, whether it's Rip Hamilton tripping over like a fence or who was it that was there? One of the players was coming with like a dustpan to attack somebody. There was the guy. There was Jermaine O'Neal
who looks like Turtle.
Like Jerry Ferrara, like Turtle from Entourage, who got decked by Jermaine O'Neal.
That Steven Jackson, when he first went into the stands, clotheslined that one fan. Then they were trying to hold them back when they were getting pushed into the tunnel. And I remember them just, you know, fans just dumping popcorn and soda all over like Reggie Miller and everybody. It was wild.
It was something. And we just had something like that, sort of. We had the Myles Garrett thing a week ago.
That was not this, but
it kind of got like, that was like, that's one of the times where like everyone kind of like at the same time was like, what the hell did I just see in a sporting event?
If they had a fight like that at the rack, what would they call it?
Danny right now, who will at some point be listening to this, is just yelling.
Oh, right. Was it Rashad Kent?
It's the Seton Hall Rutgers fight from 2002. That was, I mean, it did
happen.
What
rhymes with rack that has to do with fighting?
I don't know.
Sacked at the rack? I don't know.
Anyway,
hacked at the rack.
So that was pretty crazy. I can't believe it's been 15 years since that time.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's my.
Let me see if I have anything else on the list.
Can we do
here.
The thing now with the beans?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Mike's dying. Referees are dressed weird. That's not really that interesting.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up and text us. The group, the new referee shirts are weird.
I just mean in general, why are referees dressed like that? Like,
shirtish medium?
Why is it just like
the stripes?
The stripes. Why is that like the thing? I know.
Also,
it's like,
if you have
them wear? I don't know.
If you're going to go tight shirt, you have to go then slimming like European style pants. The
baggy,
pants are still too big.
Also, agreed. Why were the good people at Foot Locker like, wait, we want our employees to look like referees? Like, why was that a thing?
No idea.
I don't know. This is something that's bothered me for a while, and I know that it's not like it's kind of the way it goes, but it really bothers me how like our download numbers are influenced by like what the title of the episode is. That really bothers me. Like, if you either you like the podcast or you don't, like, just listen to it. I don't know. Like, there are people who listen just based on the name.
I'm thankful for everyone that listens.
I know. It's just annoying that, like, if we should just name every episode Greg Schiano.
Is this one being called Greggy? I mean, what is this?
I'm just saying, like, if we understand how to goose the numbers, let's do some SEO. And
what's SEO?
Oh, God. Danny,
using Google
it.
Don't
worry about it.
What is SEO?
Don't worry about it.
What?
Don't worry about
explain
it.
Explain to
stand
the people
for?
What it stands for.
No, I don't know what it actually stands for.
Search engine optimization. It's when you make the headline so they come up on Google.
Okay. And do you know anyone named Shelly? Have you ever known anyone
Shelly
named
Duncan?
Shelly? Did you know Shelly Duncan?
No, we never hung out.
Okay.
No, I never know
anyone named Shelly.
Nope.
Man or woman, actually? Does it have to be either one?
It can be either one. Are there still people named Shelly?
Shelly Smith?
Who's Shelly Smith again?
ESPN.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
That was all I had.
That's all we got right now. Should we get to any of our segments? I do have a wanker of the week this week.
Cool.
That popped into my head.
All right, cool.
Was the Mouse at the Palace the basketball thing that you were alluding to earlier?
Yes, that was the NBA topic that I...
So yeah, you want to do wanker of the week?
Yes, whichever one you want to go with. Go ahead.
Hello, Governor. Let's check in with our cantankerous co-host, Angry Adam, and see which blustery bloke has got his knickers in a pinch this week.
Oh, you wanted wanker of the week. Sorry about that.
That's actually going to be funny.
Because one time I will get very, like, I'll be angry one day.
Yeah.
And it's actually going to happen where Max will irritate me to the point where I have to make Angry Adam because he
would be funny
says
if we
this
had
joke
a
every
mouse
time.
At the palace situation. Podcast.
Are we done? This music sucks.
Whoa, time out. This is Limp Bizkit.
This music is annoying after about 10 seconds.
This music is not annoying
after
10 seconds.
This was my teenager.
Great, it was
all right,
mine too.
All right, fine. All right.
Blimey. It's time for Wanker of the Week. Wank, 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 wanker of the week. Cheerio.
Gaetano Panuccio.
My email address is hashtag I don't care.
You know what the great thing about that Gaetano Panuccio thing?
The tweets that we're getting that people are actually...
We have gotten multiple people who have told us that they'll just randomly yell out, Gaetano Panuccio! Yeah, and it's like, it makes me so happy.
Yeah, you guys are special. My wanker of the week this week is Darren Revelle. Darren tweeted out something. I want to thank him for his service to a certain point on this here. But Darren tweeted this past week, quote, some NFL players don't want their kids to play football. Well, I don't want my kids to tweet. It's my job as a parent to raise them to stand up and be strong. But should I willingly send them into a minefield? I just want to... It seems very genuine. I want to thank Darren for being such a good parent, obviously, and just really looking out for his child's best interests and standing up to the mean Twitter world that is. He doesn't want to...
Is that apropos of anything? Like, was it after the Myles Garrett
his
thing?
His Twitter. I don't know what it was. The wanker of the week comes in, though, because the funny part is Darren forgets a lot what he tweets in the past because he tweets so much. And if you go back in time, Darren, before his child was born, set up a Twitter account for his child that was yet to be born. So Darren was exploiting his unborn child at the time for Twitter and was going to eventually hand over the Twitter handle, I believe, at one point to the child. But now Darren is doing the stand-up thing as a parent, apparently, and keeping the child away from Twitter.
Real quick before we get into this, I just realized I wasn't listening to what you were saying because I thought you were saying that he didn't want his kid to play football. Like,
no,
that's why my response made no sense.
His analogy basically is comparing football to letting your kid play Twitter.
I got you.
Can I just say this? Like, I've lately tried to stay off of Twitter a little more. And so sometimes when you do that and you miss the things that are on Twitter and then someone reads to you something like that tweet... I just had this crystallization in my head. I was like, God damn, that's some stupid stuff. Why are we on that stupid website so much? Like, when you read on Twitter things off Twitter, it just crystallizes how dumb of a website that is that we all use and spend way too much time
on. Oh, yeah. It's the worst and it's the best. I mean, I would agree. I kind of agree with Revelle there. I'm with him. Don't give your 10-year-old a smartphone.
I don't think that's what Adam's objecting to.
Yeah, I was just really making fun
of him. I know. I understand. I'm just pontificating on my own here. Like, don't give your 10-year-old a smartphone.
All right. Now, one of these episodes in the offseason, we'll have a parenting podcast.
I've been trying to get Mike to do a parenting podcast.
What are we
going to
do? Hey, Max, how about those dirty diapers?
Why don't you just, like, talk?
No, if we do a parenting podcast, it's in that voice.
anything
that's
else
my dad voice.
The freshman out of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Gaetano Panuccio.
Why did he put the emphasis where he did?
We gotta do Mike's thing.
Oh yeah.
All right.
So it just doesn't have an opener or anything.
No, we don't have any because this was decided on like 3 minutes before we did the show. So for the Harry Potter fans out there, I'm sure you know the Bernie Bot's every flavor beans.
He's bitty bad.
Some of them are. Yeah, that's true. So what we're gonna do is I have a pack right here. Got them a few weeks ago.
Wait, do we want to play this game with Vlad? Should we get Vlad on the phone and Vlad can try them and then tell us
if
whether
they're good or bad,
very bad, bad or not bad?
Yeah, we can. I mean, I think Adam should also taste them, so we can both of them.
So I interrupted Mike. They're these beans. It's a Harry Potter thing. They all
they're
taste
every
different.
Flavor. They can taste like anything. It'd be delicious. It could be disgusting. We're gonna have Adam try three, and I guess we can have him tell Vlad, who will be on the phone, and Vlad will relay to us whether they're good or bad.
No. That doesn't make any sense. The joke was, never mind. Just Adam eat the damn beans. Mike ruined it.
Okay. Give me your beans, Mike. Pick a bean. Let me see the color.
Shout out to a great season for Rutgers women's soccer, by the way.
Okay.
They just lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but still a great season.
I don't know.
Good regular season.
So I have to try it first?
So you try it, and you tell me what you think it is. It's an azure blue color. Bernie Bot's every flavor beans.
I keep thinking you're saying Bernie Bot's, like Bernie Sanders Bot's on Twitter.
This tastes like either cotton candy or like bubble gum.
Okay, you're not close. It's soap.
It doesn't taste like soap.
Okay. Objecting to the every flavor.
This is such bad audio.
Go for it.
No, it's not. I'm eating right into the mic. It's pretty good.
No, I'm saying.
What do we got here? We got kind of like a pastel cream color. Oh, I think I know what that is. You tell me. Is that what I think it is? Good or bad? Is this good or bad? You like it or no?
This is not good.
No?
You're right. This is not good. You are correct, sir.
So if I'm reading the color right, that's rotten egg. Mm. Does it taste like rotten egg?
Oh my god, it actually does.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, so you have one more left, and hopefully it's a good one. It can kind of take that taste out of your mouth.
Oh, that was actually bad.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let me see this color before you eat it first.
Oh, this is red.
This is like a red. So I don't know. This could be cherry. This could be like spicy. I don't know. What do we got here?
People are listening to him eat.
This is a little... This is like a...
Is it good? Is it sweet? No,
it's a little spicy, too. It's got a little spice to it.
All right, all right. So I think you just got cinnamon.
Mm, yeah, this tastes like cinnamon.
Yeah. Mm. I hate cinnamon, so that would be bad for me.
Well, the rotten eggs was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, you got a rough batch there. Rotten eggs, soap, and cinnamon. That's every flavor, man. Every flavor.
Is there anything on there that's good?
Yeah, I mean, there's cherry. I don't know how you feel about earthworm.
This is the best segment.
There's
we've
blueberry,
ever done,
banana, this makes marshmallow, green apple, grass, which I guess is for Les Miles. He's apparently a character in Harry Potter.
All right, to finish up, should we? I actually
he's bitty bad.
Yeah,
can we
he's
do? Washed
I've been late. Oh, do we have washed or what? Not washed.
I just have one question for you this year.
What?
Play the music.
I'm not ready. I didn't know we had this. We had this today.
You have one job. You have one job.
What else is on here?
Oh, yeah.
I got it.
Let me try one. Let me see what I get. You tell me what it is once I try it.
All right, Mike's going to have one right now. It looks a little of that lime. Oh, have this one.
Oh!
Does it actually taste bad?
Oh, it's so disgusting.
Yeah.
What is it? It tastes...
Like what?
Mmm.
The color should give it away.
Like puke?
Booger.
Booger, yeah.
All right, so what's washed or not washed this week?
Okay. Here's just one question for you. Do you know what bike means? B-Y-K-E.
I don't.
I do.
I don't. What does it mean?
So you're washed.
Means back, but like said in a stupid like way. It's his back.
That's it. Simple question.
I'm right? That's what that means.
Yeah.
Okay.
No bike. Idea.
B-Y-K-E, all caps.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess it can be all lowercase too, but I would think it can never be just a B capitalized.
Mm-hmm. I think we should finish. Are we finishing up with gambling this week?
Oh, yeah. We have to do gambling.
Okay, because I just want... Oh, yeah. Go to. All
right. So, guys, two more games left in the regular season for Rutgers. Everyone complaining about the college football playoff rankings, who should be where, who should be there. It's all going to sort itself out. Guys, we are in week something.
63.
13.
Week 13? Sure. It's week 13. In the league where they play for no pay. Rutgers welcomes in the Spartans of Michigan State into Corporate Name Stadium this Saturday, November 20-something. 23rd is the date of the game. Rutgers hosts Michigan State, and they currently sit as a 20.5-point underdog to the Michigan State Spartans. It opened at minus 23, and apparently people encouraged by Rutgers and their performance against Ohio State, putting the money on Rutgers. Rutgers minus 20.5. Who wants to start?
You want to go? I go. You want to go?
I'll go.
You go?
You go?
I go?
I go.
Max, you want to start?
Me go?
I'll start.
Okay Max, start. You go.
Okay. I'll be short here. I think that it's a little bit of fool's gold to be confident in Rutgers this week. I know we're all happy with the way they looked against Ohio State, but ultimately, this is still a team that is not... that has lost every Big Ten game on more than 28. I think that it's a little bit of a sucker bet to bet on Rutgers this week. I think they'll look better. I know Michigan State hasn't looked great. I know they just got destroyed by Michigan, but I think Rutgers has the same problems against Michigan State they've had in past years. I know last year that they played pretty well against Michigan State, but I think Michigan State will be able to run the ball, and I think they win a game like 35-10, and I think they cover.
I'm that sucker. By the end of the game, they'll be screaming Mark D'Antoni no.
So you're taking Rutgers.
Yeah.
Is Rutgers going to get another Michigan coach fired? Because they got Brady Hoke fired.
Oh, interesting. All right. Everybody wants me to do it.
Do it.
There were offers.
Do it.
There were offers on Rutgers.rivals.com.
Rutgers.rivals.com.
This week that people were just going to throw us money.
Oh, yeah?
bet Moneyline and Rutgers. And while I am really, really intrigued to do so. How much?
+763.
Fuck it, we're going Moneyline.
Yes!
We're going Moneyline. I said I wasn't going to do it.
Mark
but
D'Antoni, no!
Damn it, I'm going to do it. Second time, why not? Let's go. Scarlet Knights, senior day win. They carry.
I'll throw it in there.
They carry 21-0. What's his
21-0.
Name? 21-0 on his shoulders. Gatorade bath and all the
he got
seven,
a Gatorade bath against
the
Liberty.
Seven students storm the field after. They maybe try and take down a few goalposts. They can't do it. There's not enough of them. But it still goes down as the biggest win. One of the biggest wins in Rutgers Big Ten history.
Who's giving us money, by the way?
What?
You said people are giving us money.
On the boards.
Yeah?
Well, yeah. People offered to throw in some money.
Oh, because
to go
they don't,
money
know, they don't know where to bet.
Yeah.
Because you
do we have to give
bet.
The winnings to them?
They didn't say we had to.
Oh,
I don't know.
So Rutgers money, you're going with Rutgers money line. I think everyone's
Rutgers
getting a little ahead of themselves.
Line.
Like,
nah, +763. Let's
why
go.
The hell not? Rutgers money line. Let's
all right.
Go.
So, Mike, you want to give you two other picks?
I do now.
Okay.
My phone just died on me, and I did absolutely no work.
Great. This is good.
All right. Let's go. Number 9, Penn State. Number 2, Ohio State.
Are you just going to read off this?
Ohio
article?
State, okay. 18.5 point favorite. I mean, I'm going to go. I'm going to go Penn State. Go into the shoe and kick some ass. And then for my other game, you know what? I'm going to go Western Kentucky, Southern Miss. Western Kentucky on the road, a dog +138. Take that money line. Bet it hard.
All right, I have got our old buddies up at UMass +40.5. Against BYU, and then I also have Maryland +4 against Nebraska.
All right, so I was really lazy these last couple weeks, to be honest. Nothing just came to mind today in terms of being funny, which not that I've really been funny in the gambling stuff, other than the first
funny.
One. The first week, I set
there
it
was
up.
Was that one time you were like,
it's like
a little too far?
It's like Max, where he gave you the best song maybe first, and everybody thinks what came after is bad, so... I'm just
there was
honor.
The time where Adam suggested, like, sarcastically,
I don't think
that
we even have
Florida
to read. No, we're good.
Should
we're good.
Not be allowed to play
no, that was
with
good.
Black players because they're celebrating a time when they didn't let black players play, so it would only be fair if they weren't allowed to.
If you're going to go all in and commit to throwback unis,
yeah,
go back
right.
and commit.
I'm saying. I'm with you.
I also thought my Liberty pick was very underappreciated in my whole Liberty UMass.
By the whole
no,
talk.
It was all good. But I liked
the whole 150th anniversary thing. They post those old team photos. It's a little bit awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Little. There's always an elephant in the room when they post those old team photos because all the people look a certain way. Anyway.
Just in honor of last week in Rutgers covering one of the biggest spreads ever, I just went with this is the fun week in the SEC where they always play garbage teams.
Yeah.
Samford and Auburn. Auburn's 48.5 point favorites. So I'm going to go with Auburn. They will cover the 48.5. They got the Iron Bowl coming up. I wanted to get the
Tigers.
What? I'm not doing LSU this week. There's no Coach O impression. I told you I have nothing funny planned. I wasn't kidding.
You hear? That's me crying right there.
I'm just saying. I don't.
Yeah.
I didn't,
people
I didn't,
want
I
this.
I didn't plan for it.
Wow. I was hoping for
I
Coach O.
To do
big week for Coach O.
I can't do Coach O this week.
Coach O.
Western Carolina at #5, Alabama. I just wanted to properly. Coach Max, O. Can you give his Tua's new name?
What was it? Tua's season is over?
I just thought that was very good.
Yeah.
They will beat Western Carolina. They will cover the 62. I'm going to say they win by 69. It's the only joke
nice.
I can think of this week.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
Yeah. I apologize
you
for
really
though.
Did mailing it in.
Yeah, I just couldn't this
no,
week.
You know what? It's funny. Before this episode, I was like, all right, I should cut up some sound. I should do this. And I was like, I've been putting in way too much work for this podcast. And I was like, nope, not doing that.
I'm the guy who put in work this week?
Yeah, Mike,
yeah you
Mike
brought the
candy.
Most,
I brought candy.
That's,
I got
made,
the song.
You made the song that you could have turned your mic down for, but you didn't.
Well, maybe you could have produced it and edited it like I asked you to, but you were too insistent on not doing it.
There was no way for me to save that.
I should have done Coach O this week. They're #1 in the country now.
The only thing
just gives a little, you know, off the cuff.
To point out before we finish up here is that we posted two polls early in the podcast. Should Mike stop talking? 70% said yes. Should Max stop talking? 55% of the audience said yes. So the only point I'm saying is that people want us both to shut up, but they want you to shut up more. So that makes me happy.
I mean, we should just both shut up and let Adam have the show.
Could you imagine?
Give the people what they want.
You know what's funny? A couple weeks ago or last week when we put out that clip show, originally I was like, you know what? I'm going to record like 20 minutes by myself as like a parody of Mike Francesa, and then I started to do it, and I'm like, wow, it takes a lot of ego to sit here and talk to yourself, you know, for a long time. Of course, it's also like he's got producers and he can just like yell at callers. I didn't have any of that. I don't know if that would have been good if I did that. It would have been bad, but it would have been funny, but I didn't do it.
I mean, there are already Rutgers Sports podcasts out there that work on ego and think people care what they have to say.
All right, we'll be back next week. And
can we cut that?
I have no. We'll leave. We'll leave everything.
Bad joke.
It was fine. We'll be back next week, and maybe Rutgers.
You're of course talking about the On the Banks podcast, right?
That's one of the two relevant.
Oh, start thinking podcasts. Right now. It's Thanksgiving week next week, so I'll give you some days to think about it right now. If we did this for Halloween, so let's do it for Thanksgiving. Okay. If Rutgers was a Thanksgiving dish, what dish would Rutgers be?
Casserole.
Think about it and let it just kind of simmer.
But that's so hard because people have different Thanksgiving dishes.
And so we'll find out next week.
Like,
what's a
Thanksgiving dish?
Mike?
Goodbye. Is bots a Thanksgiving dish?
Goodbye.
Pay the players.